Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike.
Hey, you. What's happening?
Hey, I can't get in the room. I'm trying. It's a day. So, how's your day? How's the weather?
Cool. Yeah, just like Eric said, it's good riding weather. It was nice.
Yeah.
The only problem I had was when I got off the freeway and I'm going down. The street that I took is four lanes, two each way. And then there's a couple islands. You can make a left or a right, whatever, you know. And there's a big white van. And they're making a left by the mall. And
right.
A lady in a green RAV4 decides that she's going to pull out, can't see, around the van. So I go around her. As I go around her, a woman in a Saturn decides that she's not going to make the left and came back in front of me. So when I slowed down and I looked in the window, she's flipping me off. So needless to say, as the light turned green, my left foot kind of went up in the air and kind of knocked off a mirror, but... The last laugh was on me.
Obviously.
Art says, I'm come on in, the water's... Art says, come on in, the water's fine.
Well, is that in the ocean in California, or is that in Lake Michigan here?
Yeah, it's like anywhere, you know.
Yeah, actually, Lake Michigan has been warmer this year than what it has been a long time. Surprisingly enough. Okay. I'm waiting for the chat to open up to me.
Well, I don't know what, you know, try refreshing the page.
No, I did. I had to step out of it and then come back in. That's showing, though.
Okay.
I made it. Yay. I'm only blind on certain days.
Oh, here we go.
Well, no. Blind through brunette lips.
Okay. Anyway. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just have to put a wave there so everybody knows I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, they can see me, but...
Yeah, well...
Okay, well, I have something to read.
Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, well, first, I want to say that I told you earlier, but... Of course, the listeners didn't know. There's a big statement that took place on the news today because of the summit meeting that's taking place here in May. And Obama wanted to have the G8 demonstrators go to Camp David because Chicago is not capable of handling the demonstrators here during the summit meeting. So the demonstrators are coming. They have to go in front of a judge in Chicago to get the approval of demonstrating. But they had informed people that they are coming.
Yeah.
They better be ready.
Well, you know, you hear all kinds of stuff, and sometimes it happens and sometimes it don't, you know. But we'll see.
Well, but what you have to understand is back in 98 or 95 during the Seattle summit meetings, wherever they've gone, there's been arrests, there's been violence. You know,
uh-huh.
They're ready to come, or they're coming. So
uh-huh.
They're trying to forewarn everybody, but, you know, Daley made the mistake in 68 and couldn't control, you know, the demonstrating that took place in 68. You know, they weren't equipped for that then. They can be today, but it's going to pull in other forces, you know, to help Chicago get through it. Anyhow, so, yeah, that's where that stands for right now. So as I find out on that, you know, I'll let you know as we go before May, obviously. And let's see. There's an interesting thing that you sent me. And I'm going to read it. I'm just opening it now.
Okay.
Oklahoma is the only state that Obama did not carry one precinct in the last election. While everyone is focusing on Arizona's new law, look what Oklahoma has been doing. An update from Oklahoma. Oklahoma law passed 37-9, had a few liberals in the mix, an amendment to place the Ten Commandments on the front entrance of the state capitol. The feds in D.C., along with the ACLU, said it would be a mistake. Hey, is this a conservative state based on Christian values? HB 1330, guess what? Oklahoma did it anyways.
Uh-huh.
Also, Oklahoma recently passed a law in the state to incarcerate all illegal immigrants and ship them back to where they came from, unless they wanted to get a green card and become an American citizen. They all shattered HB 1804. Hope we didn't send any of them to your state. This was against the advice of the federal government and the ACLU. They said it would be a mistake. Guess what? Oklahoma did it anyway.
Right.
Recently, they passed a law including DNA samples from any and all illegals to the Oklahoma database for criminal investigative purposes. Pelosi said it was unconstitutional. SB 1102. Guess what? Oklahoma did it anyway.
Uh-huh.
Several weeks ago, they passed a law declaring Oklahoma a sovereign state, not under the federal government directives, joining Texas, Montana, and Utah as the only states to do so. More states are likely to follow: Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, West Virginia, Mississippi, Florida. Save your Confederate money. It appears the South is about to rise up once again. HJR 1003. Also, the federal government has made bold steps to take away our guns. Oklahoma, a week ago, passed a law confirming people in the state they have the right to bear arms and transport them in their vehicles. I'm not sure if this was a setback for criminals. The liberals didn't like it, but guess what? Oklahoma did it anyway. Okay. We're almost done here. But this is interesting. It's an interesting article here. Just this month, the state has voted and passed a law that all driver's license exams will be printed in English, and only English, and no other language. They have been called racist for doing this. But the fact is that all of the road signs are in English. Only if you want to drive in Oklahoma, you must read and write English. Really simple. By the way, the liberals don't like any of this either. guess what? Oh. Who cares? Oklahoma is doing it anyway.
There you go.
Yeah. Interesting.
Absolutely. So basically, Oklahoma's not taking any shit, huh?
No. And you know what? It's about time, you know, in regards to how they feel in regards to shipping the immigrants back. And also having the fact of, if you're going to be in this country, speak English. Read, write it. When's the last time you were in an unemployment office or what they call like, here they call it like public aid, state aid assistance. Okay, you have immigrants in there that they have to have somebody come in with them because A person doesn't know how to speak English. B person has to be the translator. Okay, so, you know, it's just like if you call to pay a bill or, you know, press 2 for English. Really?
Right.
How many years did we go where we didn't have that recording at all?
Right.
You know, so I would, this is how I look at, if you come to a country, know the language, read it, write it. If you go out of the country on vacation, whatever the case may be, know it. Or at least have books with you, you know, so you may look like an idiot at points, you know, because you're trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B or order something or whatever the case may be. But at least you're trying to do something, you know.
Right.
Because it's ridiculous. If you're going to go somewhere, learn the language, know it.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Okay.
Other people have their opinions. Me, that's just how I look at it.
Exactly.
It's an opinion. That's all it is.
Well, I got another one here.
Okay.
It's coming up right now.
Okay.
This is a real good one. This was sent to me the other day, and this concerns the town that I live in, and a couple of the TV stations picked up on it, but the title itself should clue everybody in to what it is. Let's see, hang on. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna try and get it in the chat room just as soon as I can get it to load up here. It's coming, right? Yeah. Here we go. Okay. This is the shocking Oceanside, California. Oceanside, California Police Department. Shocking health issues. A visit to Oceanside will open your eyes to the health problem of what seems to be the entire police force. You know, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with putting on a little extra weight, but driving around in Oceanside, California the other day, I was shocked at how many overweight police officers I saw. We've all seen the movies where they make fun of the cops being frumpy and heavy and a whole lot of not too bright. We've all heard that the donut eating references a million times, but it would seem that sometimes stereotypes are born of truth. Driving downtown on my way to the beach, I happened to pass two police officers within a couple of blocks of each other. Both were overweight, although I didn't think anything of it at the time. Not until I stopped at the local coffee house at about 9 in the morning did the health problem of Oceanside's police department become glaringly apparent. There were several police officers in the shop. Don't ask me why so many were in uniform, not working at the same exact time, and absolutely all of them were in possession of a few more pounds than is normally healthy. One of them was what I would refer to as a grotesquely overweight. Normally, I don't care about people's weight. However, when we're talking about public servants, people who are supposed to protect us, I have some pause for serious thought. You know, if my wife or my girlfriend just happened to be robbed or worse yet, sexually assaulted, I realized that if she screamed for help and one of these guys was nearby and able to respond, there is no hope in hell they would be able to catch the perpetrator unless the officer is not lounging around in a coffee shop and is lucky enough to be in a vehicle. In all likelihood, the suspect is going to get away. This is just not acceptable. So I have to ask the obvious. What the hell is up in Oceanside, California? Are there no physical standards to speak of? Are there standards that but nobody on the force is taking them seriously? Are there no repercussions for those who don't meet the standards? The military has physical standards, so what's going on with the police? Some can laugh at cops in general for being out of shape, but the fact of the matter is not a laughing matter. For some unforeseen reason, you have to depend on their services and protection. If they aren't willing to take care of themselves, then how are they going to take care of you? It is unfortunate that such is the case that I even caused to write about this, but what it is, sadly. So it goes on. Now, the other day, the local news picked up on this, and they already have, I got a couple of videos I'll play for you after this that go along with this post. But this article that has started the whole fiasco, the local news in San Diego has picked up on the story and has asked to interview me on my observations and the subsequent anonymous threats I have received. I am making some calls to other departments in the area to see if I can get the IP addresses tracked of the individuals making threats and will press charges accordingly. This could potentially blow up since Oceanside already has quite a few problems with their police department. This is an update sent before the first post could be published. I recently published an article above about my observations on the overwhelming amount of heavy police officers in Oceanside. Then I received an angry response in my email inbox from a gentleman, I use the term very loosely, who claims he works for the Oceanside Police Department. He said that when, not if, but when he finds me, he's going to make sure I get what I deserve. To protect myself, I am writing this article for Tryon. This is if the guy is a police officer and something happens to me, people will be aware of what's going on. I don't expect to make police officers and OSHA that angry when I pointed out my observations that so many officers are overweight. But my concern is merely that I fear for people's safety if crimes are being committed and the criminals are able to outrun the police. I will look into the legality of it, but I plan to return to Oceanside to take pictures of various police officers that I observed so the public can view their pictures and see the extent of the problem. I'm not talking about one or two random officers out of 10. I'm seeing over 50% as not just slightly overweight, but grossly overweight. One guy was so large that I would be willing to bet his money on his uniform is custom made because it's far larger than the standard size. To the guy claiming to be a police officer there in Oceanside, dude, act a little more professional. If you are a police officer, realize that I will not be intimidated by your threats. I welcome you to track me down and lay your hands on me. You will not stop me from writing the truth. If this makes you angry, then maybe you should simply exercise so that you can better protect the citizenry instead of threatening them. Your little triad gives you more to write about, and the motivation to go down there and take pictures is needed to prove my point.
Well, before you post up the videos, you know, you have to understand, there's officers out there that are heavyweight, overweight, I mean, all over. It's not just your state, it's everywhere. But the thing is, are they in shape enough to run? Are they in shape enough to do what their job performance requires? You know, at one time I worked in the Garfield neighborhood. You know, if you remember where that is, 55th and,
yeah. Yeah, over there by Garfield Park.
Yep. So, you know, here I am, the only white female there, you know, going through town. And I had a problem with my car, and there was an officer in his squad right on the opposite corner. And I was flashing my lights for him, you know, like, come, he wouldn't even get out of his car. I'm like, yeah, make me get out of my car, but you won't get out of yours.
Of course.
You know, and he's like, what is the problem? I said, I have a problem with my car. You know, could you, like, help me out here? You know, It was just unbelievable. He did not want to get out of his vehicle. I'm like, you're the cop. I'm not. You know? All he had to do was walk from one corner to the next.
Uh-huh.
Which was kitty corner for me, you know. But
right.
Like I said, will I ever get it? No.
No. So, yeah.
Yeah, they have to be able to work out and stuff. You know, that's the bottom line.
Dude, donut curls and coffee curls.
Yeah, well, you know, in the town that I'm in, there's 3 donut shops. And guess where they go? But, see, in my town, there's only, like, 6 or 7 cops. That's it. It's not like, you know, downtown Chicago, they have all different precincts. You know, the suburbs are different. But, you know, I mean, what would you do if you lived in a town with 6 or 7 cops in it?
I already lived there.
Yeah. So,
and they're all fat.
And, you know, the funny thing is, I have seen them get out of their car with a cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I said, what, no donuts? How funny is that? But, yeah, it can be comical. If they have a good sense of humor, you know, the ones here in this town,
yeah.
They're not too bad. They do have a decent sense of humor, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they tend to. Some of them, they're just crabby. But, you know, I don't know. Okay, so post up the videos and what.
Yeah, I'll let you guys. This first video is a guy. He's outside the police department in the parking lot with a camera. And there's the name of this guy who comes up and asks him what he's doing. But this guy actually puts this guy in his place. So I'll post up, once this plays, I'll post up the link. I'm going to take it to, I got to get it off YouTube, but hang on.
You didn't have it ready?
No, I did, but I went to another link because I'm going to post it for everybody.
Oh, okay.
Okay? But the heading on this is, asshole cop in Oceanside, California. It's not illegal to film cars in the parking lot. This is where it takes off.
You're asking for my ID?
Yes, I am.
What's your name, sir?
Killian.
How do you spell that?
K-I-L-L-I-O-N.
You got a badge number?
Do you have identification on you?
You have a badge number? Have I done anything wrong, sir?
You're taking photos of vehicles in our parking lot.
I'm taking photos of vehicles in your parking lot?
Yes.
That's against the law, sir?
It's suspicious. Okay.
Suspicious? What's your ID number, sir?
1360.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Do you have ID on you?
I don't need ID, sir. I haven't broken any laws.
Okay, the guy's walking through the parking lot. The cop's chasing him.
Question you need answered, or?
Sir, tell Sergeant Larson, come on out and take his medicine. Other than that, sir, you have no business with me. I don't wish to engage in conversation. I'm common practice of my First Amendment right, and if you interfere with me, sir, I will file charges against you. You have a very nice day.
Does, but they don't like it. They don't
no.
like it when they ask for ID, and you don't. By you're right. You don't have to. They already know who you are.
Exactly.
They have your picture and everything. It pulls right up.
Exactly. But yeah, it's just. you know, it's just, it's crazy. When does it end and when does, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
It's like, Susie asked, is there physical standards like the military? Well, Susie, I hate to tell you, but 30 to 40% of these, no, actually more than half, were either in the Navy or the Marine Corps. Me, I only weigh 10 pounds more than I did when I got out of the Marine Corps, so, I know I'm still in shape, but.
Wow, that's
your story. No, I'm serious. Well, and I'm telling it the way I want, but.
No, I understand what you're saying, because in the military, you got to be a certain bitch, you know.
Right.
It's a mandatory thing. It's not like you run for miles and you're going to be a toothpick, no. But you have to get in shape.
Well, you have to be in shape. Basically, what it is...
Look, when you strap on a belt with guns, it's not light, you know. When you're in your military uniform and you got to carry what you carry, it's weight. So your body has to be fit and ready to handle what you have to do. And that's the bottom line.
Right.
How I look at it. Well, yeah, you have to be in shape for that.
Right. I mean, you know, it's like, here's another one. This guy filed a civilian complaint. I'll let him tell you what he did.
Okay.
Hey, my name is Sean M. Gerald. I am a resident of Oceanside, California. I have a complaint against the Oceanside Police Department, City of Oceanside Police Department. On March 8th of 2009, about 10:30 p.m., I left the Shell parking lot on North River Road and turned right, and then I proceeded to a U-turn, a left-hand turn lane, and there was a car approaching quite some distance down the road in the number two lane, and I slowed down a little bit, and then that car appeared to even slow down more, but I couldn't really tell. So I made a safe U-turn. That car was still quite a ways back.
Is it coming from this direction up here?
South.
Okay.
And I made a U-turn right here, and I proceeded into the number two lane. And I looked at my rearview mirror, and there was a car in the number two lane, still a ways back there. And I...
Okay, when you say the number two lane, you were in this outside lane here?
Absolutely. Number two, starting obviously from the inside lane, measuring from...
Right.
Counting from the inside lane. I saw a car quite a ways behind me, you know, still quite a ways back, and I made a safe turn into the left-hand lane. And then this car, which I had no idea was coming... accelerated up very fast and then turned into my lane without using a signal, without doing anything, accelerated up and got right on my tail. And I'm thinking, well, this could be road rage. I don't know who this is. It's dark. It's 10:30 at night. The young person could have a weapon. So I safely moved into the right-hand lane. This car stayed right on my tail. I mean, right on my tail. So I then go down into the number two lane, so then I move back into the left-hand lane. This car, he's on my tail, and I'm getting a little nervous. So then I turn into the right-hand lane, and then I go back, and then it's staying right on my tail. So then we're moving closer to where there's the intersection.
So you get back up to this intersection that was near where the Shell station was?
Exactly, because that's where I live over, you know, on the other side of the river, on the other side of the bridge. So then I pull into this left-hand lane, and then I see the police officer. So then I signal to get into the right-hand lane to get out of the police officer's way, and that's when the police officer turns the lights on. So then I waited for the light to turn green. I was stationed right here at the front of number two lane, number two turn lane. The light turned green, and I turned left. And then right here on Douglas, there's a bus lane. safely pulled into there and stopped right there. I stopped right there in the front of the bus lane. The police officer pulled in front of me, or pulled behind me, rather.
Okay, what was the first thing that she said to you when she approached your car?
You know, well, why are you driving? I said, I'm not driving that way. You're the one that was, you know, tailgating like that. So she said, well, you know, I could give you a ticket. And I said, for what? And she said, well, be right back. So she goes back, and then she comes back. And says, well, I'm not going to write you a ticket. And she said, and all this. And I, well, do you have any tattoos? And I said, no, I don't have any tattoos. And I'm thinking, well, what does that have to do? So she said, well, what's your phone number? We got to log all this. I gave her my phone number and left the scene. I went home. That was it. So then that's when I filed my complaint. About 4 days later, I said, this is not right. I went into the police department. Spoke with a sergeant, I don't remember the guy's name, but in the meeting I explained this, and he said, well, this isn't going to go anywhere. That's what he said in the meeting, this isn't going to go anywhere. But again, I still felt the officer tried to coerce me on that, what actually happened. That's not right. So, anyways, I turned that in, and then a little ways later, I got this letter from the City of Oceanside, April 17th, which is like, you know, gosh, it's a long ways out. And then they said, you know, on their little thing, it says like 3 to 6 months to respond to it. So that's when I say, this just is not right. So that's when I started checking on the web, and then I saw police.com. I said,
so their response to you was that it was going to take 3 to 6 months to investigate a complaint about a traffic stop?
Well, that's what it says on the form.
And if you, well, hang on. And what it is if you settle for that, and they do try and do that when you go in there and you meet somebody, they do try and do that, tell you, well, you know, maybe he was just, you know, you just were upset, and, you know, because he stopped you, and, you know, people get nervous. Bullshit. They fucking do it. The judge in court even told the fucking cop, she wrote a guy a ticket for leaving his motorcycle unattended. Now, I know when I start mine and walk 3 feet from my bike, it's not unattended because I'm there. I might be putting my jacket on or something. But she swore up and down that she's the one that did this and she's the one that did that. And we subpoenaed the other cop who came in and said she called and asked him to pull him over and da-da-da-da-da. And it blew up in her face. And I've proven time and time again in the Vista court that these guys fucking lie their ass off. Hello, Rich, is that you?
Yes, it is.
All right, you've heard some of the topics, and we're talking about unjust things happening. And I know we talked earlier, and I told you I would give you time to tell your story.
Well, which story do we tell first?
Hey, whatever, you can tell them all.
I can tell them all. I got all the time. Well, thank you. First, I want to say thank you. I was listening, as you recommended, to the program from last weekend, and there were some very interesting things going on over there in Australia and some other things here in the United States, and I just want to say thank you for hosting and doing this. I think you're doing a great job. Thank you very much.
Well, you know why? You know why I told you to do that? Because what happens west is coming east, and what happens east is coming west.
That's correct. Yep, and I agree. You know, the world's getting smaller, as they said on there.
And on the phone with me, since Bill's got things to do on Tuesdays, this is Nora, and she's out of Chicago. She's been helping me. She's been my co-host for a little bit here while Bill's taking care of things.
Okay. Well, I was just listening to you talk about getting pulled over and having a little bit of experience this weekend. There was an event that was out in El Cajon area, and we kind of knew that it was going to be filled with cops, and, I mean, they were everywhere. They were staked out. There was no way that you could get out of that place without having to
cross your path, you know, and see a sheriff. It was the sheriff's department.
Right.
And, you know, we behaved ourselves, you know, we didn't do anything that would draw or cause attention to us, not racing up and down the streets, not pulling out of the parking lot, making noises, just for the simple fact, basically, that we were wearing colors, we got pulled over. And they found an excuse, which I call the bullshit excuse, for pulling over one of our friends that had a vertical license plate. Well, when they pulled us over, I pulled out in front because I knew that they weren't pulling me over to begin with.
Right.
And I kind of just stayed away from it. I didn't get off my bike. I just sat there on my bike and kind of listened a little bit to the conversation that was going on between me and my friend.
Can I stop you for a minute there? Basically,
yeah.
what Brian says hello, but Fran Del Santo says hello. But
hey, Fran.
What I wanted to do was, can you tell everybody what was going on at that point and why everybody was there?
About the specific event?
Yeah.
Yeah, the specific event was the Violators MC was having their spring fling, and they were just having a get-together party, just hang out, have a good time, tell stories. They had raffles. They were raising money. And pretty much that's what was going on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, anyways, it was later after the event, when we left the event, is when one of my friends got pulled over, as I said. And, like I said, I didn't get off my motorcycle. He didn't get off yet. He just kind of was sitting back there, and nobody seemed to be hostile or anything. No one was asking. Well, they were asking lots of questions, like they were asking what motorcycle club and what are they about, those kind of things. And basically we just gave them the basic information. Hey, we're a motorcycle club in San Diego. What else do you want me to tell you? So everything, I thought, went really well up to the point where they were almost done writing the ticket for this vertical license plate. And then I saw a camera come out, and they started taking pictures of the colors that my friend was wearing. And then they started coming up to me, and they started taking pictures of me. And I went to go get off my motorcycle because I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you taking pictures? And I immediately got told to sit down back on my motorcycle. And I didn't feel that was right because I wasn't a part of the stop. They didn't pull me over. They pulled over the other person. They even said to me, well, you're free to go. I'm free to go, but I can't get off my motorcycle. What was that about? You know? So they took pictures of my colors, they took pictures of my license plate frame and my license on my motorcycle, and, you know, I just basically felt completely like they were profiling. And, you know, I did go ahead and offer information about my club and gave them a business card just to educate them a little bit more about who we are.
Right.
Can't believe that it really happened and went down. And I thought everything was cool until they started taking the camera out and taking pictures. There was no need for it.
No,
and,
but they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then the bad part is when you question them, now you're an asshole, and the tide changes. But they're all gung ho in the beginning until you start asking questions.
Right.
I mean, I've been threatened with obstruction so many times. I just stick my hands out and say, let's go, because it's going to take about 6 to 8 hours to process everything. So,
well, I did really think about pushing the issue a little bit more, but I didn't want to try to present us in any bad light at all. And, you know, I know it is what it is, but that's pretty much our story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of like what you're talking about. I was listening to the person that was speaking a few moments ago talking about getting labeled, you know, as a gang. For me, that's the big thing, which is what I didn't want to start happening. I mean, when they start taking pictures and they're profiling, now they're going to do whatever with the information that they want. And that was definitely something that I didn't want to have for us to be labeled as, or for anybody to be labeled as, especially if they're not, you know.
And it was only anybody riding a Harley, right?
Well, my friend, he doesn't have a Harley. He has a Honda, but it's a bobber.
Uh-huh.
And you really can't tell what it is, you know?
Right.
Yeah. They just saw an excuse. And there was no way to get around it. We did everything we were supposed to do, obeying all the traffic laws, all the traffic signs, stopping at the before the white line, beat down, looking both ways, turn signals, hand signals, you know.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned to me about a vertical plate, and I suggest you tell your friend to get either mounted on the back fender or get the horizontal bracket.
Yeah, he's already looking into getting that done, so that will eliminate that in the future.
And somebody asked a question. Did they ask for a signature on the card?
The card, I mean, in what
regard? Well, they filled out contact cards. They always do. They have to justify the stop with their blood.
Yeah, no, I asked for a contact card when I was giving my information to them, and... You know, in the state that I was in, because I was letting my anger probably get a little bit more of the best of me, I wasn't clear-headed. And if that's one thing I can recommend to anybody, is just be a little bit more clear-headed and think a little bit. But I did ask for a card, but they just gave me basically a blank sheriff's card that just says Sheriff of San Diego County on it.
Did you get business cards?
Yeah, that's the business card that I got. That's what they gave me.
The individual officer did not give you his business card?
That's correct. After I had asked him for it, could I have his card, and he just gave me a business card for the county of San Diego. That was it.
No. Well, what you can do is you can go on their website and get an IA complaint, and you can fill it out, and you can put... If you remember, everything that you remember about it, you write in there, and you write how they treated you, and you write that you asked for a card, and you were given a blank form card from the sheriff's department instead of the individual's card. Well, and this is what happened, and they filled out this paperwork, and I'd like a copy of that paperwork that was filled out. I'd like to know the policy and procedure. I'd like to know how many times this was done. How many times did you do this last year? All kinds of shit like that. You just flood them with shit. They have 10 days to answer you. If they don't answer you, you send a letter to the FBI. If they don't answer you, then you fill out a police misconduct report with the Department of Justice.
Well, that will be happening for sure.
I'm sorry?
I said I will be doing that for sure.
Yeah.
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 So,
if you can remember any name or anything like that, or your friend remembers any names, just write them down.
Well, we have the name of the officer that gave the ticket.
Yeah.
So what was funny, too, is after the stop, you know, we all went and hung around a little bit and talked about it amongst ourselves. And they told my friend that the reason that they were really pulling us over is for our protection, because... They were saying that there are other people out there that would want to do harm to us. And then that's why we were pulling this over.
Sure. You know how many times I've heard that one?
Yeah. For our protection, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Protection from what? From who? I mean, at this particular time, I'm driving on the road and I'm getting onto the freeway.
Yeah, from them.
Protection from who? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, thanks for at least letting me tell the story there. And I also wanted to talk about a little bit more positive things that we have going on. The motorcycle club that I do belong to is Wolfpack EMC here in San Diego, California. And that this weekend on the 31st, we're having a fundraiser to raise money for the Ronald McDonald House Charities here in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And to do that, we're having a swap meet. So we're got a bunch of people that are going to come out to the event selling all kinds of different wares, everything from leather items to accessories.
And you're going to send me a flyer for this to post on the blog, correct?
Sure, I will do that.
Okay.
Do that as soon as
Because as of last week, and according to today, for the last 5 days, I'll tell you exactly what's going on here. We've been over 66,883 hits a day.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to Bill the other day, and he was, this was last Saturday, as a matter of fact, and the same day of the traffic stop later in the day, that's when that happened. But earlier in the day, I saw Bill at a diabetes function that was going on. They were raising
mm-hmm.
money for American Diabetes Association.
Right.
And anyway, so I had to talk to him, and he was telling me more and more how it's been growing and growing, and people
mm-hmm.
from all the different countries that are listening in.
Yeah,
there's
we've got
like
people
45 countries, 45 countries that listen in.
Yeah,
yep,
we got people from Canada. We got people from Northern California. We got people from Poway. We got people from the East Coast.
Sounds pretty cool. So, anyways, I just wanted to give a little bit more information so people were interested in attending and wanting more information on how they could contact me or where these.
Yeah, send me that stuff, and I'll put it on the blog for you. And if you want to give anybody your email address right now, you can do that. But I also have someone to call in to ask you a couple of questions. And Fran's on the line. She's unmuted. So, Fran, hold on a second. Let Nikki do what she's going to do with her email, her contact information, and then we'll ask her questions.
Okay, great. Yeah, my email address for anybody that's interested is Wrench, just like the tool, WRENCHWP@gmail.com.
And if you want, I got that email address. If you want, I'll post it for you.
I'd appreciate that.
All right, I'll do that right now.
Okay. And then, like I said, when I get off the line with you, I'll send you a flyer so you can post it.
Sure. And then, Fran, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things that's real nice is that was one of the groups that did come to the celebration of Life of John. And the swap meet that they're talking about is going to be at Flint Springs. And it is going to be all bikes accepted. So there's no discrimination there.
No,
and
nope.
Never did, never have, never will. And if there is a part that, because I went to Sweetwater when they had their swap meet. And in the old day, don't worry about brand Pacific because we always retrofitted it anyway.
That's
and if
true.
There's someone up there that needs a little help in doing that, I'm sure there's some of us old-timers that could actually assist in that. So,
and I'm sure if you went down and saw Mr. Kennedy and went in his back treasure room there, you could find anything you need.
I go there all the time.
Yeah, me too. I love that little treasure room back there. When I'm working on parts or old things, I'm always finding what I need there or the expertise or the help from the Kennedys up there. They're great people.
And the other thing I want to let you guys know is Bill is basically in the last 35 years that I know of, Bill is maybe the only one who will help you if you are down on your luck. He would rather see you ride and be happy than miserable and whine. If you can't afford to pay for your parts, he will hand you a broom.
That's right.
And you come work off your debt
and he'll give you the parts.
Yep. I was going to say that one time I was looking for a set of hammer bars, and I just wanted to get a used set because I know the new set of bars are fairly expensive. And I walked in there, and he said, yeah, anything in the back room. And I went and found something that looked like it would work, and the chrome wasn't in the best shape on it. And I walked up there and asked him, you know, okay, how much for this? And he was kind enough just to say, hey, just return it when you buy your other set of bars, which is exactly what I did. Once I finally got my next set of bars, I took it back and put it up on the wall for the next person that wants to use it.
Exactly.
Although the best recollection that I have is the saddlebags that I'm using on my Sanford and Son bike. I remember being at a shop. Well, of course. And I remember going in the back room, and I picked them up, and it was even as used, very lightly used anyway, I couldn't have bought in Target a backpack is deal that they gave me. I go out of his shop, and there's this Harley guy. And the Harley guy says to me, he says, that will never fit on your bike. I looked at the guy, and I says, don't you ever believe in retrofitting? Of course these are going to fit. And he just looked at me. I went to Home Depot, picked up a few pieces of metal, made my own bracket, and they're still on my bike.
Yeah.
It's a shame because it's lost art, and it really is an art.
Yeah.
It is.
But maybe at some point we can actually teach some of these individuals how to maybe retrofit or, as they say, think outside of the box for a change.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many number of aftermarket parts that I've bought that are supposed to be direct replacement or direct installation, and have had to tweak them, grind them, cut them, make them fit, you know?
Yeah, sure. But
well,
you know,
the other thing I wanted to share with you guys is about a month and a half ago, I pulled up, and OPD was parked across the street, and the unmarked car was on the side, and they were standing at the door talking to Bill. Well, a couple of guys had gone in. I won't say from what club, but a couple of guys had gone in there, and Bill met the cops at the door and asked them straight out, and I heard this. I couldn't believe when he did this. He said, if you guys are here to look at motorcycles, you're more than welcome. But if you're following those guys in to ask them any questions, I'm here to tell you right now, this is sanctuary, and you're not allowed for that. If you want to come in and look at motorcycles, no problem.
And they just
turned around and walked away and waited till those guys left.
That's why we love Bill so much.
That's why he has that doctor of smoothology up on the wall.
Yes, that's for sure. And he's very good at it.
What else we got going on this weekend? We got the swap meet? What else is going on?
Well, I know of a couple other things that's going on this weekend. I know that the Pioneers and Biggs are having a St. Patrick's Day party up at Biggs on Saturday. And I also know of another group that's having a scavenger hunt. And,
oh, they're fun.
Scavenger hunts are pretty fun. So, but besides that, just for us, it's the main focus is the swap meet. And we're going to have raffles and 50-50 drawings. And hopefully we'll do pretty good. Last year, we were able to raise $1,000 for Ronald McDonald. I know it seems like small change, but anything that helps out with the organization.
Hey, in this economy, anything that helps out is good.
Yep. Ronald McDonald holds a special place in our hearts for us. One of our former friends had an unexpected death with their child, and Ronald McDonald Charities was there for them. and just the way that we've seen the way that the family had taken care of them, we knew at that point that if we were going to have a fundraiser, we wanted to help raise money for that charity.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So, Art's in the chat room, but Art sent me something. I want to share this with you guys because I thought it was pretty funny. This happened in New York. And it's patrol cops ticketed for running red lights. The NYPD brass is cracking down on cops who go through red lights while on patrol by forcing officers to fork over $50 fines if they get caught on camera and can't prove they're on a legitimate police business. Manhattan cop said he was summoned 3 months ago after he ran a red light to stop a vehicle with a potential drunken driver. Oh, yeah, that was a good excuse. But the motorist was sober but tired, so no ticket was issued, and the cop didn't make a note of his stop in his memo book. See, that's the thing, okay? They caught this guy lying, but they also came up with the answer.
Yep.
Now, I'll tell you something else about New York City. And when I say New York City, I'm actually talking about Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
Whenever you go to Manhattan, you see that the asphalt is real shiny.
Right.
And it also has a tendency to be real slick. The shiny, shiny part of that actually is ground glass. And they found that it made the streets better illuminated, but the downside was that it was also very slick. I don't know if they replaced it since I left New York, but that's what that asphalt is.
Wow.
And then, of course, there's also when the traffic light, they have it called blocking the box.
Uh-huh.
And when they make the call of blocking the box, anyone that's caught in the intersection, you have cops on all four corners come out, write tickets, give them the tickets, and then they go back to their corners. If they're still in the blocking the box when the light changes, they'll come back out and give them another ticket. Now, here in San Diego, I don't know if I haven't heard it called in a long time, but when they say give out that call, stay alive on 5 or something like that.
Right.
At that point, what they do is they pull in all the extra officers from different areas to actually go after speeders and tailgaters and what have you.
Right.
I haven't heard them do that for a while.
All right. Well, let's see. We got another caller here. He's got some questions. Hello, 403.
Hey, Phil. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How are you, man?
Good, good. Yeah, I've been listening in. Yeah, it's something else, man, when people start talking to cops. Like, I put a little caption up. I don't know if you saw that on Facebook. If you got loose lips, carry a roll of duct tape. Like, I mean, seriously, people just have not learned this lesson after all these years. I mean, this started in the 20s and in the 30s. Shut your goddamn mouth. Today, people are just spitting out ratting their friends out, ratting their brothers out. It just, you know, and then they wonder why people are found dead in a ditch. They just, you know, I mean, out here, I don't know if you've ever heard that big story. There was a cop that shot this guy in jail, okay, and then his family hired somebody. This is all open to the public. It's an old file. It's about 8 years now. And they wiped out the cop and his wife. Now,
wow.
his brother was a cop. So he ended up whacking people left and right for no reason. He actually pulled people over pretending he was going to give them a ticket and shoot them in the head.
Wow.
And the cops actually are the ones that killed him.
Mm-hmm.
He just spun a fucking gear. Too many donuts, too much caffeine, something. But it's a serious case in the States, serious state in Canada. It's like Bill, Phil, and I, we spoke about this, Nora and I as well. It's Canada is a fabulous place. Don't get me wrong. It's a beautiful country, great people. But DRC and P don't run themselves like cops. They run themselves like army sergeants. Even army sergeants don't get dirty anymore. They'll just hire the grunts. But, you know, there was a time, like I said that before as well, in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, even in the mid-80s. You could go anywhere, you know, you'd have the one asshole or two that didn't like you, would follow you around, give you tickets, whatever. I even got pulled over when I built my very first 1943 artistry and iron. It was a flathead, army issue. Never had built a Harley before. Just got out of the pen. Made artistry and iron. Big show. It travels the world. I don't even know if they have that anymore. I haven't seen it since I won in 1985. But the cops would actually pull me over, and I'm going, I don't have a fucking front brake, okay? I got a double springer front end, and it's $1,900 American, so it's like $2,300 Canadian, all chrome, just a beautiful fork. And so I was not going to weld a rod to set up a brake system on it or anything like that. So they'd pull me over, and then I'd go, oh, here we go. Because I already got two tickets for no brakes, and it's not a pretty fine. It was about $280 at the time. And then a couple cops pulled me over one day and went, wow, what a fucking beautiful bike. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. What the hell are they going to throw at me now? No front brake there, young man. I'm going, yeah, yeah. It says, I'm going right to the brake shop right now. I had to wait for the brake parts. It's a big red cop, big Irishman. He went, you're a liar. But you know what? He taps me on the back. He says, get this fucking thing straight home, will you? I looked at him like, holy, I was shocked. Like, I never had a cop talk to me in a normal voice and with a little bit of dignity, you know, towards the brothers, right? My hair's flying in the wind. I'm having I had a few tilts, you know, had a few fucking shots with the boys. And but other than that, man, they're ruthless out here. And I've traveled the states. I got pulled over in not Montana. I'm talking Tampa. I was in Florida at the time, and I was speeding, and the fucking highway patrol put a gun to my face, and I thought, holy shit, the Canadians are bad. And you know, and Bill had mentioned that. He says, I don't come to Canada because of the cops. Great country and everything, but I don't like the cops. Well, I don't like your fucking cops. I mean, I think, you know, but with my criminal record, I can't go over to the States anymore anyways. I haven't been there in years, so maybe they've calmed down. But here, they're getting worse by a mile, getting worse by a mile. But, yeah, I've got so many damn stories, man. Like I said, Phil knows this. I'm writing a book, and everything that's going in that book is going to be 100% truth. I'm not going to stretch nothing. And Phil will get a copy. Bill will get a copy. And maybe one day once I can clear, because I'll be off my probation here next year. So maybe they'll allow me over. And if they do, with any luck, I can get on the show and discuss the book. It'd be a great topic.
Cool. Let me, what I'm going to do right now is I'd like everybody to hold on a second, because somebody's knocking at the door here, and I want to try and keep them at bay, so I'm going
to
play one.
Don't talk to the cops, Phil.
I will, and I'll be right back.
All
right,
brother.
It's that Harley boy, Mike P, and they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community, but I just represent freedom.
Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the vibe. The cops don't like me cause I do what I like. It's the American dream for us to live free. But when the feds think of me, they think of penitentiary. Don't play me, pig, you made me this way. I'm a pit in a cage built up with rage. Take off that vest, I'll kick your ass all day. And fuck you and the fucking DA. 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent that 1% but nothing but hood. So if you see that one with the diamond crown,
In 2001, U.S. United States versus Kellerman, the 10th Circuit Court supported the police. Policemen conducted surveillance on a head shop. He pulled over a customer and found cocaine. The stop was justified by a cracked windshield that the officer had not noticed until he followed the car. Kellerman, the defendant, argued to suppress the search result. The court determined that the stop was legal, but he didn't see it until he followed, which is bullshit.
Damn right it is.
FCC requirement for reasonable suspicion are border stops and police roadblocks. Roadblocks are constitutional to check for sobriety, to check for undocumented foreigners, and to search for dangerous suspects or missing persons. So if you want to read more about that, you can. I'll put the link in there again.
Yeah, and out here, probable cause, they use it so frequently, and it's just a. It's just something they do just for fun. You have long hair, it's probable cause. You're not going over the speed limit. You're not drinking. You're not under the influence of alcohol or nothing. Nothing wrong with your car. They just pull you over, and then they throw that in your face. Probable cause.
Right.
And luckily, I know the law because, you know, my dad was a cop for years, and he actually worked in Interpol in Rome because I was born in Paris. And so he taught me a hell of a lot. Basically, that's one of the best lessons he's ever taught me because I throw it right back in their face. And they look at you like, how in the hell do you know all this? You can see their brain trying to work. The smoke's coming out of their ears, but then they know to shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
Because, like I've even told the cops, please, please do me a favor and charge me. Remember, well, you knew I got my finger amputated. We talked about that.
Yeah.
It was my fuck you finger, okay? It was ruptured. It was always up. So I was always shooting a finger. So I got pulled over for a ticket. And I'm scratching my chin, playing with my goatee, and my finger's extended. It doesn't bend. And the son of a bitch told me he was going to charge me. And I told him, hey, I challenged him. Charge me. I'll shoot the judge the finger, and then who's going to look like an asshole at the end? All right, I'll just give you a ticket for this and that. Two tickets. Well, the son of a bitch gave me my speeding ticket. I was going 10 kilometers over, and one for a broken broken mirror. And I didn't look at him. I seen the speeding ticket. It was one on top, so I put it in my console of the car. And all of a sudden, I happen to go in the console of my car. I don't go in there too often, and all of a sudden, I see the damn ticket. $422.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's for, it's just like spitting on an officer, okay? And he charged me for shooting him a finger. And he was a highway cop, so I didn't know who the hell he was, and I missed the fucking court date by 3 days. 3 days. Unbelievable, eh?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a link out here. I'm going to post it right now in the chat room. But, okay, it's in there. This one's from, it's me from all over the place, and this one was, it was submitted to copblock.org, but the author was, and this is from police1.com, only policemen can, only Leos can post on this site, but to be honest, I was smiling when I read the comments by these guys discussing the troubles of their job, to the point that quitting or hoping to make retirement is their only option. No, I was not smiling because these were officers who seemed to be at their limit, trapped between wanting to protect people and government politics. I smile because the officers are starting to get sick of their own professions, and this is a necessary step. Step two is when they realize who caused the problem, which I'll discuss below. It's going to come up here. And three is when they act toward the solution, hence the ending the problem. And this is, I put the link up in there. And I'll put the other one up there so you can get it. But you can't take anything off this police1.com. But you can get it at copblock.org, or you can get it to police1.com, but you can go read them there. You can't take them off there. But anyway, to get back to this, this guy, his name is Joe319. It's a damn shame. Officers start out with gusto, making all the arrests, trying to make a difference out there. It doesn't take long before they realize they're trying to make a difference in a society that doesn't want them or appreciate what they do. The better job a police department does in the community, the less they want you. The more active and aggressive you are, the more complaints you have. Then you're on some watch list because of all the complaints. I've seen agencies and groups pull stats for officers to see if they're stopping more minorities than whites. As they see in the numbers and you're identified, they don't see that you work in a sector or zone that is 100% minority. That's where you're going to be stopping. Officers soon learn they have a little boy blue out there, and they wise up and learn how to play the game. And if it doesn't want to go through any more IAs, internal affairs, then they soon learn to live by the creed, no contacts, no complaints. They don't want to be slugged, but the system is against them, and that's why they need to do to make it in remaining years, and it's going to get far worse. The 70s, 80s were great times to be a cop. You got on the radio to say, I'm in pursuit, and weren't met by, give me your speed, weather, location, reference, traffic conditions, followed by break it off. Good luck to you and your younger guys, and play the lottery each week. So this guy realized that he's trying to make a difference in society and doesn't want to appreciate. Oh, poor Joey. Have you ever asked why that is? Why don't people appreciate an officer's job like they did in the past? You blame the people for the job change of viewer towards Leo's. Joe goes on to say, the better police department in the community, bringing more toys and hiring more police buddies. The only time I've heard of a police station being shut down was when the cops tried to frame the mayor, who then, in retaliation, fired and disbanded the whole department. I think that was up here in California. I'm sure most of the police departments increase the number of arrests, amount of revenue, and total budget each year, so there are sad super trooper type stories about stations or two being shut down, but the reality is, that police state is booming. After all, Keene, New Hampshire is getting a Bearcat plus $300,000 they're going to get. The Bearcat's that mean SWAT team vehicle and $300,000. But we're broke.
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with the math there, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I've got a question.
Go for it.
If you're pulled over, how long legally can they hold you?
Yeah, it depends on your attitude, Fran.
Your attitude and your charge. Legally, if they have something on you but you don't talk, they can't hold you more than 72 hours.
No, that's if they arrest you.
Once
you're pulled over, you're quasi under arrest, but you can ask them what the reason for the stop was, and they have to tell you. And then because they already know who you are, they already know your insurance, your license, and everything is good. Because by the time they get behind you and then turn on the lights, they've already run your plate number and know everything.
That's right.
So when they walk up to the window and ask you for your insurance and you don't have the card, which you have to produce, they can write you a ticket for not having proof of insurance, even though they know in the computer that it's valid.
Yeah, that's the same in Canada as well. But if you get mouthy to a cop, they can hold you. Doesn't matter, charge or no charge. You know, because I got off work one day and there was a rapist. And I'm walking down the street getting ready to go home, and all of a sudden I get attacked. And, man, there's like two SWAT vans, four cop cars, bikes, a couple on horses because it was right downtown Calgary. And they attacked me, like boot in the neck, handcuffed, just roughed the shit out of me, bring me to the cop shop, and telling me that I'm being charged for rape. And I'm going, whoa, calm the fuck down, man, excuse me. So they held me there for a day. This one cop shows up. He says, listen, he says, I'm going to break all the rules. He says, come with me. So he brings me in this room. He brings me the file.
The guy looked identical to me. He had my name, my first name, my last name. The only thing that was different was my hair was longer, and he had dentures. And he says, I'm not supposed to show you this. I says, you know what? I can charge the shit out of you guys for millions. But I says, I won't. But do me a favor and catch this motherfucker, because I will kill him personally. I'm not going to go through this again. Do your job. You did your job, but holy shit, man. You know I don't got dentures. That must be on file. You guys know who you're looking for, do you not? I was pissed off, but I was kind of honored that at least they're doing their job trying to look for this guy. I don't believe in rapists and child abusers. But I gave him the warning, man. Find him, like right now, real quick. And I kind of feel bad I didn't charge him, because I should have charged him. I really should have.
Yeah. Well, Fran, in answer to your question, like Art says, it's kind of the discretion for your detainee. It's the cost of discretion. In other words, like Bill says, attitude. The first 30 to 45 seconds tell you which way to go. But Art also says, well, long enough to get a dog out there to walk around your car.
Fran, what's going on locally that's coming up, do you know?
Well, okay, you've got that swap meet on the 31st.
Right.
And you've got the breakfast on April 1st, April Fools. But they really are going to be cooking. That's final option down at Sweetwater.
Right.
You have, at noon, you have the abate meeting.
How has those been going? Is there anything new coming up for legislation? Or I used to be in the Bay here in Illinois for many years. So, like I said, I haven't kept up with what's going on. So if there's anything new out there, it would be cool.
I haven't
kept up on... Dana, shut up.
They're having in California, it's open. affiliation you have.
Right.
So they're going to have essentially open season votes. And so at that point, it's real important for everybody to get out there and vote for those that we need. We have a couple people local, Denise DeChaney, Bob Filner, Tony Atkins. They are friendlies. So there are some that we really do need to get and stand behind and make sure that they are, back into office, or I should say change of office, because
right.
Now that they've changed the term limits on a number of seats. So that's one of the things. But to be honest with you, I'm having slight memory dropping off.
It's okay.
Well, and that's only happened since John is, well, no, it's not okay.
no, what I mean is, it's understandable, and I agree that way. Things come up, and unfortunately, it just takes over. I call them blind moments, but it's okay. Whatever works.
Well, I'm not used to that, so it's. I just have to get my life back in order. That's all, and it will.
It's a step by step process. I know.
You'll
get there. You got us. We'll just boot you along the way. What did you forget? Okay, we'll remind you.
On Sunday, the final option, they do a great breakfast over there at Sweetwater Harley-Davidson up on the roof.
That's what Art just said.
Yeah. Well, I'm also looking at the flyer
they
here.
They deliver?
No, but it's on the first. It's the first Sunday of every month.
Okay.
They do this.
No, I thought maybe somebody would be nice enough and deliver it here to Illinois. One hell of a trip, wouldn't it be?
You're too funny.
Yeah. Art can bring it.
I could bring it to you, but it'd be a little bit cold by the time I got there.
Oh, that's okay, because, you know, what, I can smell it when you get here, you know, even though it is cold, and I'll have a fabulous dinner for you. How's that?
Hey. Well, I got something that came out today. It's in this month's Easy Rider magazine. But it's titled In Your Best Interest. And let me read this, and it'll give you some updates, Nora, on what's coming up. Fran, it'll refresh your memory. But in 1998, our federal government entered into a treaty with the United Nations. The global harmonization of motorized vehicles based on European standards with this agreement is what is known as Working Party 29. Working Party 29 focuses on vehicle safety, including motorcycles and environmental regulations. In 2000, Tim Holter, VP Harley-Davidson, wrote to his fellow members in the Harley Owners Group, "Harmonization, global standards on vehicle design and test procedures is probably the single biggest issue facing manufacturers today." In 2001, the United Nations granted non-governmental status to the American Motorcycle Association, and in 2002 conferred the same status to the MRF, Motorcycle Riders Foundation, to coordinate directly with Working Party 23. A lot of Working Party 29 is the regulation of sound emitted from motorcycle exhaust. A few of us who absolutely know that loud pipes save lives also know of the responsibility of riding with loud pipes. But as with guns, every time some knucklehead does something stupid, ignorant politicians will create a law to impress a few of their friends, or maybe just to impress other bureaucrats who want to control the world. In California, we have 9 vehicle noise muffler violation laws on the books. With the passing of SB 435, which happened here, we are about to have 10. SB 435 is a direct response to Working Party 29. In a letter from Ken Seath of the EPA written to Bub Enterprises in 2010, the EPA's inspection of Bub was to make sure aftermarket motorcycle pipes are in compliance with the forthcoming global regulations, Working Party 29. SB 435 becomes law in California in January 2013, but it appears, and everybody before that is grandfathered in, but it appears that it is not enough. We need more regulations to make sure we all behave under this new global. We know what's best for you harmonization. As the AMA has put it, we can think of a better way to establish a test procedure that's fair to all concerned, i.e. motorcycle owner, law enforcement, and the courts, etc. Then this one. This one is SAE J2825 and the use of a decibel meter on roadside stops for sound testing. In many years for fighting for constitutional rights as a motorcycle rider, I can tell you for a fact, law enforcement and the courts are rarely fair when it comes to motorcycle riders. Working with AMA and MRF in the endorsing of SAE J2825 is an organization called DPS Technical Incorporated. This organization, they're located in Upland, California. DPS has for the past several years been instructing and illustrating the testing methods of SAE J2825. DPS Technical puts on classes to train, certify those who want to be involved in the sound testing of off-road vehicles. And Fran, I'm going to ask you some questions about what you and John did with yours. As soon as I finish, otherwise known as SAE J1287. Yes, that is correct. The AMA and the DPS Technical are directly responsible for the sound testing of off-road motorcycles. But what is extremely alarming is the fact that the DPS Technical has been training California law enforcement in the noise testing of street motorcycles. SAE J2825 is not a legally acceptable practice in California. Yet at least 2 police departments have been issuing citations for using this method. Excuse me. Those are the Elk Grove Police Department and the Citrus Heights Police Department. So much to fair for all. For any of us who know when a cop is writing a citation that is incorrect and we inform them, the typical response is tell it to the judge. So as it goes back to follow the purse strings, where did the police departments get the funds for training and for those expensive sound meters? Well, according to the DPS Technical and Type 1 required for law enforcement, Sound testing kits cost approximately $7,500. It appears that the California Office of Traffic Safety gave a grant to Citrus Heights and one to Elk Grove PD in speaking with the OTS. This was a one-time grant, and it does not intend to issue further grants for sound testing equipment. I wonder who profits if all the police departments start purchasing Type 1 sound testing equipment. But wait, there's more. Not only does DPS Technical certify law enforcement in the sound measurement methods of SAEJ 2825, it also instructs them how to win in court. They give them a checklist, and it makes this part of the classroom instruction. It's not just the testing procedure, but what is needed in case motorcyclists plead not guilty. I forgot. Fair to all. Are the AMA and the MRF motorcycle rights organizations forcing regulations based on SAEJ 2825 would be like to the NRA endorsing more gun laws? I guess SAEJ 2825 is the MA and MRF's response to Working Party 29. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the American Motorcycle Association announces a new joint effort with the EPA for more regulations in your best interest, of course. So, Fran, when you and John did that with the meter, did you get all that classroom instruction?
Yes, we did. However, what part of what you have there is, hold on one second.
Sure.
I just had to put it to my ear. Part of what you don't have there is one of the things that was brought up from MMA and AMA. No, not AMA. At the meeting, and what the officers were saying is that the training is not to tag bikes, but they're being trained so that if there are complaints of compliance, they would be able to go out and then test. So in other words, they're being trained to do it's kind of like pulling you over for a cracked windshield.
Right. Well,
that's the reason they're being trained.
Well, how can you see a cracked windshield going 40 miles an hour the other way?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't.
But that's what they're using for the training guidelines. What upset me more than that, and I think I gave you the name of the officer, who was the head of up in L.A., of the police force there, and this guy was, such a peacock. Not a cock. Oh, no, never mind. But he gloated at the fact that he videos and clocks people, basically bikes, and he was proud that he had gotten 9 bikes in one car speeding through this one section of road through video, and had the officer give them a ticket at the bottom of the road. And he was also proud of the fact that he was giving, his officers were giving beanie tickets.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting because a lot of the officers that were there at that meeting was kind of like wishing this guy would just shut up because he is above the law. He says, I can read the book. I know what the law is. So no matter what the Highway Patrol sends out as far as a letter goes, it goes back to what you're saying, where you have to know what the actual law is. You have to know what has been dictated from Highway Patrol.
Right.
So that you can go into the courts and say, Your Honor, what's in that book, but this overrides that. This
right.
precedes that. And
right.
and try and get that to cease and stop thing.
Yeah. Well, like Phil is doing a great job. He's doing the studying. He's teaching everybody. Just got to listen and pay attention and teach yourselves. I mean, it doesn't take much to pick up a book. You can download anything, any information you want on the web. Study, people. Learn your laws, man, so protect yourselves.
I'm a little bit shy on that at this point.
Yeah.
Because
in Canada, I don't know if you have that in the States. They have portable little, just like a breathalyzing machine to test the decibel level of your bike.
Oh, and I got the machine.
Yeah, they have
Real. Yeah. Brian has the machine.
Yeah,
I have the machine. I'm certified.
Oh, I didn't know they had that portable ones in the States as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
mine
I'll tell you.
Mine isn't the expensive one that the officers are issued.
Okay.
But yes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help when you go to areas and they hang a sign saying no motorcycle parking here. And you can't get people to go fight it and say, you know what, wait a minute. This is what the decibel law is. You can't tell me I can't park my bike here because of decibel level. I meet the requirement.
Yeah. What's the level in the States? What's the level in the States?
It's different for every state. New Hampshire is like 102. California, depending on the year, your motorcycle.
Is what? Sorry?
97.
97,
yeah.
Yeah, we're 101 here.
Yeah, well, it just depends on where you're at. Like in north of us here, up on Highway 15, I want to say up towards San Bernardino, there's a homeowners association that was pissed off about people riding their Harleys into the community association, and they built a lot at the end of the association that's gated, where people have to park their bikes and walk to their house.
Well, but you know how associations work, though.
Huh?
Associations can work that way.
But a lot of these laws are flexible. I don't know if they are in the States, but like out here in the mountains, you have wild animals everywhere. Deer will jump out, moose will jump out, elk, whatever. Don't you want loud pipes? It scares the shit out of them. They're going to run away from the highway.
Well, it all depends on where you're at. It's like anything else.
Yeah, but
it's the police on the
bikes that are the worst ones because they have all the bells and whistles and lights, you know. You get pulled over by a cop on a bike, he is going to treat you worse than one in a cage.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Not really, because Fran gave me one of those papers, and I put a sheriff on his ear when he told me my pipe was loud, and I said, geez, I just had it certified, and according to the people that certified it, you need a meter to tell me that. So he went off with his baton between his...
Yeah, to check for your baffles.
No. I said he walked with his baton tucked between his legs because I put him in his place and he left me alone.
Sorry, man. I should have shut up and let you finish. That's a good one. But out here, not all of them have the portable little machines. You know, and they're in their cars, windows rolled up, whatever. There's 10 bikes flying by. He doesn't really know which one's the loudest, but he'll pull everyone over, and that'll never happen because, you know, we usually always get one guy to stop and the other ones get the hell out of here, right? So I've done that for my bros many a times. And, well, here he comes. He's got that damn stick, pops it into the fucking pipes. Yeah, your baffles are removed. I said, yeah, they are. They're straight pipes, dummy. You can tell there's no baffles. They're as straight as can be. They're short on top of that. Of course, there's no baffles. But I am not changing my pipes. I don't give a shit how many tickets you give me. It'll save my life. What don't you get? You want me to die? Probably, but I ain't gonna, okay? It's not gonna happen.
Well, it's like anything else, like Bill says. We all make our choices. I don't like to be told what to do. I'd rather have a choice.
Yeah, but when they set laws, they should set laws and abide by them.
Well,
you know,
that's why
instead of playing God, instead of playing the jury and the judge, be a cop, listen to the rules that you were taught, and abide by them. It might be a lot easier on everybody instead of being a prick, rookie.
Well, you know, like the most corrupt states in America, number one is Georgia, number two is South Dakota, number three is Wyoming, number four is Virginia.
Is there a reason why they have that in that category?
Yeah, because they're ethics enforcement agencies, all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
They get graded just like a kid in school, A through F.
Yeah, statistics basically it's based on, I would imagine.
Well, Michigan is, the overall grade is 58%. They got an F. Access to public information is a D. Legislative accountability is an F. Political financing is an F. Ethics enforcement agencies is an F.
Ducks, guarantees.
North Dakota, overall grade is 58. Public access to information is a C. Legislative accountability is an F. Political financing is an F. Ethics enforcement, F. South Carolina is 57%. They got an F.
Now where's North Carolina sit on there? Where's Sturgis sit on this?
Hang on. I got the list. South Carolina, 57%. They got three Fs and a D. Maine got four Fs and a D plus.
Unreal.
Hang on. Virginia again, 55%. They got all Fs.
Wow. They're not going to make it to high school real fast, are they?
No, Wyoming got four Fs and a D minus.
Wow, IQ level's really high up there.
Exactly. So it's like, and then the least corrupt states are Nebraska. They got a B, C plus, D plus, a D minus, and a C. California got an 81 overall grade, a B minus. Access to public information is a D minus. Legislative accountability is a C. Political financing is a B minus. And ethics enforcement agencies got a B.
That's not actually bad.
No, Washington got 83% at a B minus with B, B, B plus, C plus, and a B minus.
Well, you expect
Connecticut
anything
got
less?
80, hang on, I got the list. Connecticut got a B at 86%, B plus, a C, an A, and an A. New Jersey got B plus, B minus, B plus, C plus, and an A. So, yeah,
who does this survey, do you know?
This was done by 24/7, the Wall Street Wire.
Wall Street Wire, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
If I can jump in for a second, because you were saying about, you know, the older bikes being grandfathered in, yada, yada, yada. I mean, for the last 5 years, I've been trying to educate individuals that if they change their pipes, they better keep their old ones. If they buy a bike and they manage to get through, they better have the old pipes. Only because if they're going to sell it, they're going to have to sell it with the original pipes.
Right.
Now,
very smart,
yeah. When you were saying about being grandfathered and so forth, you have to understand something. Once a law is passed, it may be grandfathered today, but that does not necessarily mean that in a year or 2 years that grandfather law will still hold. And case in point would be the smog check. There was a point when I first moved here that any vehicle that was older than a 67 didn't have to be smogged. Then, of course, they did finally close the loop on farm vehicles, and you'll get a kick out of this. The Hummer was considered a farm vehicle, so it didn't have to be smogged until just about 2 years ago.
A Hummer? Yeah, you're right.
Okay. I mean, that I thought was a real trip. I mean, a Hummer. People don't like Hummers anyway, but that's besides the point. But they finally closed that loop there on Hummers. But again, okay. It's a loop that just right now, as far as EPA and loud pipes and yada, yada, yada with bikes, yes, that's going in.
I got a
it
question.
It might be
for
grandfathered, but...
I got
let her finish.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah,
let her,
sorry.
Let her finish.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, I still got a 1943 flathead, and this one's 100% original. and it's got baffles. But Phil will know what I'm talking about. They're, you know, like when you open a milk can with a can opener, it leaves those little diamond-shaped holes. Well, that's
right.
That's what the baffle looks like inside. And they don't bother us with that out here yet. Do you think they'll pass that law?
No.
I don't know.
Not over there.
Because
not over there.
Yeah, not out there, eh? Good. I'll have to do a little research on that because, I mean, it's a World War II bike. It's 100% original, like I said. It's worth a lot of money to me. And I sure as a hell wouldn't want them to start saying, listen, you can't have the original pipes, you know. And like Fran was saying, if you do change your pipes, keep them. I've done it for years.
Yeah.
I got tons of pipes in my bike or in my garage, you know.
Well,
and
the thing is, it's like, Bill has a back room, and there's got to be 1,000-plus sets of pipes back there.
Damn straight, I bet.
And when this shit hits the fan, like this guy, this young Marine walked in the other day and gave Bill the exhaust off his street bob. And he said, I just want to donate it. So Bill said, okay, put it over there. And the kid was going to leave, and I said, well, you know, hey, this thing's coming next year, and you might have to put, because I know what he has on his bike, and they're loud as hell.
This is a law that will be passed in the States? It has not been passed at all yet?
Well,
no,
the other thing you have to consider, if he is military, they have their own set of rules. So that may or may not.
Are you reading my mind or what?
Well, you and I run pretty much on the same wavelength anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, we have these debates all the time.
Discussions.
All right, discussions. Maybe losing my mind, but there's times when it's sharp as a tack and it will get you every time.
I know.
Well, you sound like a wise woman.
Nah, just one that the brain just never stops.
What area, because that part I missed, you work for the government, or are you, what's your title? What's your title
Me?
Exactly? Yeah.
I'm just a sign language interpreter.
Okay.
Motorcycle advocate.
Excellent.
Actually, I'm an advocate for any underdog. How's that?
Good for you.
There you go.
We need a lot of people like you, man.
Well, I've gotten pinched a couple times on those things. But,
I would imagine. Know. Hey, the good people get bit too, man.
Yeah, I know. But, advocate of any underdog. If it's a worthy cause, I'll be out there and I'll fight it just
good.
Because.
Right on. Good for you. Kudos, man. I applaud you.
And I do ride a bike. I ride a bike better than I drive a car, which is scary, actually.
what do you ride, Red? What do you ride, love?
Yeah, I just ride a little 750 Magna.
Hey, you're riding.
Just a little scoot to get around town.
That's right.
She calls it your Sam.
You're enjoying life.
I'll give you a little hint about that bike. She calls it the Sanford and Son bike.
Oh, and the reason for?
Well, let's see. I have been known to put 7 children bicycles and 7 helmets on that thing, including my camera equipment. I can pack probably more crap on that thing than most people would even think about putting on a vehicle.
That's not a big bike.
Oh, sure it is. It's a little scoot to get around town.
Right on.
That's all it is.
Hey, man.
This is a bike of choice. This is
Art says to tell you that you ride the piss out of that bike.
Well, yeah, I do that too.
you're not a fair weather rider, I take it.
Nope.
Well, the weather is always fair, honey.
Hey, in the rain, I could see you just attacking all kinds of weather. You got that attitude.
But the thing is when I went to Alaska, not on this bike, the bike before this, I mean, the thing up in Alaska is wait 5 minutes and it will change. And it does.
But that same with here, hon. I'm in Canada. I'm in the mountains. It does the same thing. But this guy here is always the first one. I don't know if Phil posted that picture that I sent him of me riding my bike in the snow. It's an old Triumph.
Yeah, I saw that.
That
was so cool.
I was going for my mail, my love, and we had like a foot and a half of snow, and people just think I'm insane. Like, I mean, I wasn't riding my $25,000 bike here, but I took my Triumph out, and I take it out all the time, and I ride whenever the hell I want to. -5, -10. The coldest was -15. That's as low as I went.
Oh, Jesus.
The coveralls, man, I had everything. But I'll tell you, my smile was frozen on my face for 4 days.
Oof. Yeah,
well,
I'd
rather like this one, and I want to share it with you guys. A mechanic was removing a cylinder head from the engine of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle when he spotted a well-known heart surgeon in his shop. The mechanic shouted across the garage, "Hey, Doc, can I ask you a question?" The surgeon, a bit surprised, walked over to the mechanic working on the motorcycle. The mechanic straightened up, wiped his hands on a rag, and asked, "So, Doc, look at this engine. I open his heart, I take the valves out, I fix them, I put them back in. And when I finish, it works just like new. So how come I get such a small salary, and you get the really big bucks when you and I are doing basically the same work?" The surgeon paused, smiled, and leaned over and whispered to the mechanic, "Try doing it with the engine running."
Oh, good one. I love that.
Thanks for
sharing, man. That's a good one. That's priceless.
That's good.
That was a hell of a visual, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, there's not too much that I won't ride in. When I came back from Alaska, it was probably – Alaska was a piece of cake, other than the little sharp stones that ruined the tires. But coming back from Sturgis to San Diego, I did it in 3 days, and that's only because I had to go real slow at one point where I was going to lose my chain. And every piece of bad weather I could hit, I hit from Sturgis coming to San Diego. Thunder, hail, ice, snow, you name it, I found it in those 3 days.
Isn't it fantastic, though?
Actually, you know what? Yeah, it is.
It is. It certainly is. It is. You go home and say, you know what? A nice hot tea right now with a little booze in it, and I'm alive. And I did it, and I'm going to do it again next year.
But people don't understand that kind of exhilaration.
No, they don't. Fair weather riders, I do not care for. Oh, it's raining. Shut up.
Oh.
Get some rain gear. Shut up and ride, okay?
I can tell you and I could ride together.
Oh, most definitely. I would love it.
All right, here. I got this one for you. And then after this, we'll see. Depends on how you guys take this one. But this is about a pocket taser stun gun. And this guy got it. He said it was a great gift for the wife. He purchased his lovely wife a pocket taser for their anniversary. Last weekend, I saw something in Larry's pistol and pawn shop that sparked my interest. The occasion was our 15th anniversary, and I was looking for a little something extra for my wife, Julie, when I came across a 1,000-volt pocket-sized taser. The effects of the taser were supposed to be short-lived with no long-term adverse effect on your assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to safety. Way too cool. Long story short, I bought the device and brought it home. I loaded 2 AAA batteries in the darn thing and pushed the button. Nothing. I was disappointed. I learned, however, that if I pushed the button and pressed it against a metal surface at the same time, I get the blue arc electricity darting back and forth between the prongs. Awesome. Unfortunately, I have yet to explain to Julie what the burn spot is on the face of her microwave. Okay, so I was home alone with this new toy, thinking to myself it couldn't be all that bad with only 2 AAA batteries, right? Then I sat in my timer. My cat, Gracie, looking on intently, trusting little soul, While I was reading the directions and thinking what I really needed to try this thing out on a flesh and blood moving target. I must admit I thought about zapping Gracie for a fraction of a second, and then I thought of better of it. She is such a sweet cat, but if I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect herself against the mugger, I did want some assurance that it would work as advertised. Am I wrong? So there I sat in a pair of shorts and a tank top with my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose. Directions in one hand and taser in the other. Directions says, a 1 second burst would shock and disorient your assailant. A 2 second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasms and major loss of bodily control. A 3 second burst would appropriately make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. Any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting the batteries. Only with this little device measuring about 5 inches long, less than 3/4 inch in circumference, loaded with 2 itsy-bitsy AAA batteries, pretty cute, really, thinking to myself, no possible way. What happens next is almost beyond description. I'll do my best. I'm sitting there alone, Gracie looking on with her head cocked to one side as to say, don't do it, stupid. Reasoning that 1 second burst from such a tiny little thing couldn't hurt all that bad, I decided to give myself a 1 second burst just for the heck of it. I touched the prong to my naked thigh and pushed the button. Holy mother of God, weapons of mass destruction. Pretty sure Hulk Hogan ran through the side door, picked me up in a recliner. The body slammed his bolt over the carpet over and over again. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in the fetal position with tears in my eyes, my body soaking wet, both nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found. My body and the oddest in my legs. I was making meowing sounds I had never heard before, clinging to a picture frame.
Did I have a video on this?
My body flopping around all over the living room.
What the hell kind of mood are you in today, Phil, man? You're a troublemaker. I love it.
If you ever feel confused about yourself with a tweezer, one note of caution. There's no such thing as a 1 second burst.
Okay.
You will not let go of that thing until it dislodges your hand by the violent thrashing about on the floor. A 3 second burst would be considered conservative. A minute or so later, I can't be sure as the time was relative thing at that point. I collected my wits, what little I had left, sat up and surveyed the landscape. My bent reading glasses were on the mantel of the fireplace. Recliner was upside down by 8 feet.
I got
it was originally.
I got fucking tears in my eyes, man.
My triceps, my right thigh, and both nippers were still twitching. My face felt like it had been shot up with Novocaine, and my bottom lip weighed about 88 pounds. I had no control over drooling. Apparently, I crapped in my shorts, but was too dumb to go. And my sense of smell was gone. I saw a faint smoke cloud above my head, which I believe came from my hair. I'm still looking for my testicles. They're safe return. P.S.
Oh.
My wife can't stop laughing about my experience, loves the gift, and now regularly threatens me with it. If you think education is difficult, try being stupid.
Is that on video or like in a written joke?
No, it's in a written joke. It's on the...
Oh,
you have to post that on my wall, please.
Yeah, please. Yeah, post
God.
It on mine as well.
Let me know if you joke, people. It's
coming on. It'll be on tomorrow's blog. All you got to do is go and copy and paste it. It's under Pocket Taser Stun Gun.
You know, that was so funny. Oh, my God. I thought there was like a video. I thought I could picture seeing this in a video, and the testes probably went back up in the body.
Oh, guaranteed you'd be talking like Michael Jackson for a while, I'll tell you that.
All of these guys are laughing really funny, but you know what? When John bought me a stun gun, because I was in New York, we lived in New York then, but... I mean, because of some of the neighborhoods I worked in, he wanted me to have something special. So I had one. Of course, we had to send it back to New York because he couldn't take it on a plane. But when we got to New York, we showed my sister. And we said, here's a stun gun. And Frank was like, oh, wow, that's cool. Does it work through jeans? And we said, well, I don't know.
Only we'd read the instructions. One berth will do this. Two berths, you'll shit your pants. And he actually took a stun gun and zapped his leg.
And stun guns are not illegal in the States. You can actually buy them.
You can hit them here.
Yeah. They're illegal out here because of one mistake. This cop, like I said, they're really, really nasty out here. And, they can't be used on everybody. This guy had, a pacemaker. And he killed him. He killed the guy. And the guy did not do anything wrong. It was another guy that looked like him. Get out of the car. The guy was going, well, every time I get pulled over, you guys tell us to stay in the car. Get out of the car. And he got out of the car, and he said, you stay right there. And he made a move towards the cop just to ask him a question. Zap, killed him right there, instantly.
Well, we're at the end of it. And
another great show.
Beautiful show.
Since Nora's going through that heat wave in Chicago, I thought I'd take us out with a little Mike P. Summertime. And so I'll see everybody Thursday.
Well, Phil, you were a blast tonight, man. I got tears in my eyes, brother.
Call me tomorrow so I can get that number from you so I can make that phone call on Thursday.
Okay.
And I got that book in the mail for you too, brother.
All right. There you go.
Okay, love you guys. Take care.
Good night, Fran.
Good night,
Fran.
Good night.
Take care, friend. We got to ride together.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30 pack, a pack of Jimmy's trash, pack of hood rats, and a pad to kick it at. I think I'll call Swim, see what's up with him. If I can throw some holes in the pool again. When it comes to having fun, I'm a motherfucking addict. Once again, I'm back at it, baby mama, too dramatic. And goddammit, it's about that time. Then drink up the vodka, beer, and wine. Not even Friday night, drunk for the 10th time. So what the fuck, I guess I'll bust another rhyme. Cause hey, all I wanna do is drink beer and screw. Hang on the avenue and go home with you when the party ends. Mike P back again, with rep, we're representing. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah, summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah, summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. Mine's Mike P, and it's likely that you just might be my new white team. I'm just playing. Tell me, baby girl, hey, are you leaving or staying? There's a pool party going on, come on, jump in. Kick back for a second, bring a couple of friends.